I call this meeting of Sylvania City Council for Monday, September 21st, 2020, to order. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Mrs. Capalini?
Here.
Mr. Frye?
Here.
Mr. Hanem?
Here.
Mr. McCann?
Here.
Mr. Richardson?
Here.
Ms. Stowe?
Here.
Mrs. Westfall?
Here.
Six members of City Council are present in the chambers, and Mr. Hanem is joining us via Zoom, so all seven members of City Council are present, and a quorum does exist. I welcome all of you to our City Council meeting this evening. I know many of you are here concerning the fire department issue, but if we arrive at an issue that you'd like to speak to council about, raise your hand, and I will recognize you at the appropriate time in the agenda. At this time, I'd like to ask you to join us in our Pledge of Allegiance, this meeting led by Mr. Richardson.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Additions to the agenda, I would like to add as agenda item 3A, the introduction of a member of our community running for the state legislature. Mrs. Westfall?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to add scheduling a finance committee meeting.
We'll make that agenda item 15A, to set finance committee meeting.
Thank you, that's all.
Other members of City Council? Seeing none, Mr. Sanford?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Schreier?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Chief Snore?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Aller?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
And Mrs. Briner?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
All right, with that, is there a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
So moved.
Second. Been moved and seconded to approve the agenda as amended. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and the agenda is approved for this evening. As added agenda item 3A, I would welcome Sylvania resident Nancy Larson to our council chambers and give her a short opportunity to introduce herself and tell us just a little bit about herself.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for your time here tonight. I am Nancy Larson, and I'm running for the Ohio House of Representatives for District 47. I'm the Democrat that will be on the tickets, but for those of you who are not that persuasion, I really would encourage you to take a look at my candidacy seriously. I had a chance to meet with Duff last night on a Zoom call, and at the very least, he was polite and said he'd enjoyed the opportunity to hear from me. I live in Sylvania now. I've moved here from Ottawa Hills, where I raised my family. I've been a social worker for 40 years, and my motivation for getting into this race has a lot to do with my background in healthcare and the pandemic that we are facing. We need strong leadership and people in the State House that are going to pay attention to medical science and to guide us through this to the other side. I also have a good deal of union support. I've been a union member myself, and I want to get good paying jobs into Ohio, specifically this area where the folks who have been unfortunate and lost their jobs through the middle of the pandemic. So those are a couple of key issues for me. My website is nancyfor.us. That's nancyfor.us, and you can find much more information about my candidacy there. I also have a Facebook presence, Nancy Larson for Ohio House of Representatives, and I would invite you to go on and take a look and see what you think. I really would like to represent Sylvania in the State House. I love this area. I love my neck of the woods that I've been in for the last 30 years, and I think that I would bring a pretty even-keeled, common-sense approach to the decisions that have to happen in Sylvania, in the State House, and that will affect Sylvania. Thank you. Thank you and yourself.
You're very welcome. I wish you well. And it is excellent that we have good people running for offices like you are.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, I will just say that I did participate in a town hall because I wanted to get to know Nancy a little better. And she's a very sincere and enthusiastic candidate. And in the event she's successful, I'm confident that we will be able to work with her to make this, to continue to make the community stronger and to get the assistance from the State House that we need.
Thank you, Mr. Hanum. It was very good for the city when Barbara Sears, a Sylvania resident, was on the House. And that there are advantages to the city with that sort of a relationship. So best wishes.
Thank you.
We appreciate you being here tonight. With that, I'm going to go back to the published agenda. We're up to agenda item 4, approval of the regular meeting minutes from our last meeting on September the 8th. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move approval of the Sylvania City Council meeting minutes for the meeting held September 8th, 2020 as submitted.
Second.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the meeting minutes of September 8th, 2020 as submitted. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and those meeting minutes are approved. Agenda item 5. I have a mayor's proclamation to present tonight. There are a number of the Sisters of St. Francis who are celebrating other anniversaries of their professed religious life this year, including two members of their leadership team. And though I would normally come down there and present it to them in person, they are not here this evening. They may be watching us electronically, but I will stand and read it, and I want you to know that I will be hand-delivering this proclamation to them tomorrow afternoon and meeting with at least many of the 12 recipients. So with that, I will read this proclamation from the Office of the Mayor. Whereas there are 12 members of the Sisters of St. Francis of Sylvania, Ohio, celebrating anniversaries of professed religious life in 2020. And whereas it is fitting and proper to recognize that the service of these sisters represents a total of 660 years of living the gospel in joyful servanthood among the people. And whereas this year's jubilarians are as follows. Platinum, 75 years. Sister Marie Andre Shorzempa. Diamond, for 60 years. Sister Anne Marie Schmalewski. Sister Cecile D. Ledeck. Sister M. Samuel Lubach, Sister Aeroneus Samson, Sister Kathleen Scove, Sister M. Petira Terriot, Golden, 50 years, Sister Sharon Derivan, Sister Anne Marie Eneman, Sister M. Brenda Hawley, and Sister Mary John Wagner, and Silver, 25 years, Sister Pamela Nashbush. Now therefore I, Craig A. Style, Mayor, do hereby proclaim today, September 21st, 2020, as Sisters of St. Francis Jubilarians Day in the city of Sylvania. We are very fortunate to have the sisters living among us. They do many great things for our community, not just Lawrence University, but senior housing. They participate in our arts and in our education and are excellent members of our community. And even though they are not here, I recommend applause for them. Thank you. We are also fortunate tonight to have our fire chief, who attends regularly, as you all know, Michael Ram, joining us to talk about the fire levy that is on this November's general ballot. Chief Ram. And we welcome back longtime council member Mark Lukey, who is speaking with the fire department.
Very much right. I'm Mike's opening act tonight. It's great to be back in the chamber and see so many familiar faces. Mary, I like what you've done with the furniture. and you've been able to figure out a way to get that meeting with your portfolio. For the record, my name is Mark Luke, 4327 Todd Drive. I'm here tonight as one of the co-chairs of Sylvania Citizens for Fire Services, a group of more than a dozen community leaders, and that includes people who might know Brad Reber, John Christash, Eric Burry, Jim Cooper, George France, Carolyn Cooper, and a number of others. As individuals, we all feel that the needs assessment prepared by our fire department leaders earlier this year had merit, and the final version presented in June represented a reasonable balance between two things. On one hand, an effort to maintain the level of public safety our community has come to expect at a period of residential growth and changing demographics in Sylvania. And that needs to be balanced, of course, and they comply with recognition that these are uncertain and economical challenging times, in, especially for many of our citizens. So Chief Graham will give you an overview of that report about the proposed 1.9 mil levy, which is on the ballot in November, issue 13. I'm certain you'll give the matter your full consideration, and hope that you will feel motivated as individuals provide your support for the levy. I'll be here to answer any questions you may have after Mike speaks about the committee for the campaign if you wish. But now, Chief.
Thank you. Good evening. Chief Graham, 6868 Bramblehurst. I believe you should have all got a copy of the PowerPoint presentation. What I thought I would do this evening is just do a mile-high overview. Obviously, I don't have 45 minutes or an hour to go through every single thing, but I wanted to hit on some of the highlights. Why not? Well, there's been a huge increase in for service. We have an aging population that is growing in the area. We do have 20,000 people that come into the city and the township every day to work, so that adds a little more to us. We do have what's called, we call it overlapping incidents. 52.24% of the time we have a call at one station, we get a call at another station. So with four stations, that automatically puts us down to 50% resources, and maybe even less than that with our transport services. So what we need to do, and why now, we need a second fully staffed ambulance. We need to have that second one fully staffed. Unfortunately, we've had some private ambulances in the area pull out, so we've kind of been left hanging in a few areas, so we need to be able to maintain and even improve the service that we're giving to our people today. We did have a 35.7% increase in runs over the last 5 years, and it's gradually going up, and you'll see it in one of the on one of the slides. We did a bar graph, and it shows it going straight through. Doing some comparisons locally in Ohio, we're more towards the bottom of the list for our what it costs and what our employees make and those type of things. Our run volume is up almost to the top of everybody's. What we did with the state comparison is the same comparison that we use when we do the union contract negotiations. So we're looking at same size departments with the same type of runs, same somewhat geographic area. Now, when we look at our area, we are definitely the second largest department in Northwest Ohio. Toledo, then us. When you start looking at comparisons, it's kind of hard to compare us with, say, Oregon, that's 95% volunteer. But when we looked at with the mayor, and we looked at our comparisons and what it costs to have our fire department, even compared to an Oregon, we're very comparable.
Let me confirm that. We took the cost of annual budgets of the local fire departments, Toledo, Oregon, Maumee, Perrysburg, and we divided those by the number of residents served. I was surprised that the volunteer departments like Oregon and Maumee were not lower than they were. They were maybe 10 or 15% below Sylvania Township. And I was pleased that the Sylvania Township Fire Department is currently less than the city of Toledo, and even with the new millage, will only be a few dollars more per resident, and I would expect that to change as Toledo's budget increases over the next few years, and their resident number may come down some. I'm just, Sylvania's not going to be the most expensive per resident, except maybe just in these numbers, but over the long term, will not be.
Yeah, and remember, we found out that Harrisburg Township was the largest.
That one was way out of.
That one's way out of there. But today, Toledo Fire and Police got with Mayor Kasakiewicz, and I believe they're going after a levy for police and fire coverage too. So that obviously will make the numbers some change. So what is this levy? It's a 1.9 mil, 4 to 6 year levy. Again, we need to expand some cross-staffing. We need to be able to staff more vehicles. We need to bolster our recruitment. In the next 15 years or so, we have a large amount of guys and gals that can retire. 20 years ago, we had a little hiring group, and that whole group is coming up under 25 years. So we need to do a better job of recruitment and retention and get out there and get some people on so that we can handle when we do have people start to trickle out on retirements. We need to enhance our community paramedicine program, and what that is we send a paramedic out with a social worker, and they go out and do non-emergent visits to households. We've been putting up handrails and meeting with elderly people that need help in certain areas that would normally call 911 and we'd go racing out the red lights and sirens. It's an emergency to them, but we can handle that way. We want to really enhance that program. It's a huge thing across the country, and we're only one of the handfuls in the state of Ohio that's actually piloting and doing it. So it seems to be working really well. A few years back, the state of Ohio changed the way paramedics can operate. Used to be a paramedic could only go to an emergency scene to take care of people. They changed our scope of practice to where it allows us to do non-emergent home visits. So that's where that came from. And I look at community paramedicine the same as we looked at fire prevention 25 years ago. Fire prevention was the biggest thing, and look at how fires and all that have come down, and we've done such a great job with it. I believe this is proactive EMS. If we get out there and get to the people that need help with their medicines, and we can keep them from falling, and we can get them rides to doctor's offices and those type of things, so they're not per se calling 911 to go as an emergent. We're going to need to do some apparatus replacement, and I have that laid out in there. It would take too long to try to describe it, but as everyone knows, with our own cars, they're not lasting 25 years like they used to. We've been putting stuff on the roads that are eating them up, and they just don't fill them like they used to. We are getting good years out of them. We have a great mechanic that does everything he can for us. However, as they get 15 years old, we need to cycle them out. And I have a plan that I'd rather see us, when it still has a little bit of life left, being able to trade it in or sell it to get more money out of it than run it until it's dead, and all we do is take it to a junkyard and don't get any money for it. Because there's places out there that are looking for used vehicles that we might be able to get a little more money for. Projected costs, and I guess I'll end it with this. The 1.9 mil for $150,000 house would cost an extra $99.75 a year, or $8.31 a month. The 1.9 mil for $200,000 house would be $133 a year, or $11.08 a month. And that's pretty much an overview of the slide presentation. And I'm open for questions.
I have a quick question.
Sure.
The 1.9 mils is a new levy. That's
yes,
clear
ma'am.
Here. What levy is currently in process, or is there a levy that's expired? Or
no, we have current running levies, and the one that's currently running right now would be completely out of money in 2021. So
without this levy, but at the end of 2021, there would be no funds?
Well, we would have that levy would be done. So our carryover and our fire fund wouldn't be.
The levy is continuing.
Yes.
Oh,
they would not meet their budget needs at the end of 2020.
Right, well, sorry.
And Oliver, perhaps you can help me. My memory is that the effective rate of your existing millage is about 5.8 mils.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Oliver Turner, 2744% Drive. Correct, the current effective millage is 5.79. Yes.
Every year that a levy is on, the effective millage goes down as property valuations go up. The dollar proceeds from a levy remain constant throughout its life. Fire levies are allowed to be continuing, but they're, and the dollars are constant, but the value of those dollars is less as inflation eats away at it.
Yeah,
that's the issue.
We have one that was passed in like 1982 that's still open, but I think it brings in $98,000 or $108,000.
Mm-hmm.
So it keeps going, but that's all with that, and it's at today's dollars.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mrs. Westfall, you know,
well, we're just, let's leave what Mr. Fry has to ask. I'm sure he'll
sure.
cover everything else I can possibly think of.
Mrs. Westfall, I guess two questions, Chief. First of all, I appreciate the presentation and the information from Mr. Lukey himself and the handout. That was informational for me, and I hope for other members who of the community have an opportunity to review it. So in here, you had some Q&A, and one of the things you discussed was, why does an ambulance not show up when a fire truck does? And you kind of described that. How do you handle, or how do you plan on handling presumably if the levy gets approved, making modifications or changes to that fire/ambulance balance for the department?
Once this passes, that'll allow us to hire 6 more full-time people to put the second ambulance in 24/7. Right now, what happens is that we have one that is staffed 24/7 at Station 4. We have a second one that's at Station 3 that we do what's called cross-staffing, which I kind of mentioned a little bit earlier. If it's an EMS call, they take the ambulance. If it's a fire, they take the fire to the ladder truck. By putting that in service all the time, that keeps that ladder truck from having to go for broken ankles and things like that. They're going to be, and they will be able to transport and get back in service a lot faster than running with a fire truck. And then also that plays into the replacement schedule. Taking a $700,000 ladder truck or a $300,000 ambulance, I'm not a rocket scientist, but that's a heck of a difference when we have to replace an ambulance versus having to replace a ladder truck. So I hope that answers that.
Sure, absolutely. And from one of the things we talked about with our police departments between the city and the township, we have, I call it reciprocity, but basically a shared circumstance where sometimes we get calls from civilian township and vice versa, where we offer mutual assistance. Do we have something like that with the fire department?
Yes, actively right now we have what's called an automatic aid with Springfield Township and Richfield. And what that is if we get a fire, they automatically send us an engine from Springfield or a ladder truck if we request a ladder truck. And then Richfield will put 3 guys if they can, because they're volunteer, and send an engine this way. And then in retrospect then, if they get a fire, we automatically send an engine, and then we also send our new battalion chiefs. I'm a firm believer if we're sending our guys somewhere, I want someone to watch over them too. And then we do the same thing with Springfield. And we're averaging probably about 7-8 times where they're coming here and we're going there. It fluctuates. Sometimes we go there a little more and sometimes they come here a little more. Depends on our run by. And like I was saying, when we're at 52% of the time, think about that. If we're at 50% resources and we catch a fire and we're getting an engine from Springfield, that certainly helps our community. We do not have anything currently with Toledo Fire. We have a mutual aid, which means if they need us, we can call them, or if we need them, we can call them. But I have had conversations. I just don't know that we want our ambulances at the Franklin Park Mall 10 times a day just yet, or not. I'm not sure. So
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that the citizens, myself being a taxpayer, I'd much rather be right here in Sylvania. But if they need us, we'll go.
Sure, understood. And you'd mentioned a bit ago the fund balance being exhausted in 2021. So is this, for lack of a better way, going to be a traditional circumstance where the revenue, presuming this is approved, would exceed the expenses initially, but over time, there'd be a fund balance build up and then it would degrade over time?
Yeah. In 2015, we had a budget of $9,012,000, and we had 1.7 million carryover. So when we look at 2018, we had a 9.9 with a $3 million carryover. So in 2019, it's projected to have a $2 million carryover. And I did not work up the numbers for the carryover because I know that by 2020, our carryover was in the negative.
Okay. And just out of curiosity, because sure. I know there's for every senior care center that we build, we increase the number of runs, I assume, is that mm-hmm.
yes,
same
sir.
Assessment? But we also, you also get incremental property tax from that, is that correct?
Most of them, yes, we do. And then we just started a JED with Oakley Village. So hopefully if we get more of those type of facilities, then we can work as a community and work on that. But when we do go to those facilities, we are getting a billing back when we transport, we bill our insurance company.
That's part of the revenue stream that...
Well, no, actually, that's a complete separate EMS fund. This is all this is all for fire fund.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much. That's it for me. This is West Point.
Any other questions?
Chief, I think you've explained your numbers and your requests pretty clearly. I've looked them over with you on a couple of occasions, and I endorse what you propose in these sheets. However, if we, as we've discussed, this is a difficult time to ask people for additional funds, and it has seemed to me that it's an appropriate issue for the voters to decide, but City Council may choose to endorse you directly on the ballot or not.
Sure.
One issue that you brought up with me when we met a couple of weeks ago was that when I asked you why you're doing it this year rather than next year, you were anticipating a levy from the Sylvania schools to be on the ballot next year, and you did not want to compete with that. That is an admirable thing to say. Mr. Lukey would be aware that in the past, when the schools go on, we try to keep all other local issues off of the ballot, so that we do not clutter up the school issue, which is usually larger millage than anybody else's. I can't confirm that they're going to be on the ballot next year, but they've not been on the ballot for a number of years either. I noticed that you, part of your committee included a former superintendent. So he might have knowledge of that, I don't know. The new superintendent and I haven't discussed it. She probably hasn't tried to address that then. But that would be a problem next year. The next year is not a primary election year either.
We don't want to do a special election because if no
that's
one
very
else,
expensive.
Yeah, if no one else goes, then we pay for the whole special election. And I'd much rather, you know, like we spoke the other day, how's my feelings? I know it's a tough time. I can say that the men and women, even though we had this pandemic, not one of them ever called in sick, said they're not going to go. They were there through thick and thin. And right now I have a 50-50 feeling that it's going to pass, but my goal as the fire chief and my right foot forward is I've got to get it to 51-49.
That's your job.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chief Ram. We definitely feel like you've done a nice presentation here, and I appreciated the feedback about the increased number of calls, and the population growth was one question I had. I don't think of us as having a lot of population growth, but you referenced that we have. So you have any other comments about that?
Well, the interesting thing, when and just so you're all aware, we did a needs assessment, and I do have like a 70-some slide needs assessment, if any of you would like a copy of it, because we started with the 2.4 going 6 to 8 years. I went out and met with lords in some of the places, and they said, whoa, time out, a little bit too much, you know, right now. Well, interesting, one of the first meetings I went to was CIC, and the first thing they were talking about was running water out Central Avenue, and they can't build anything out there until there's water. Well, you put buildings out there, guess what? People come. Guess what? They call it EMS and fire. So it's there. It may not be directly in the city, but since we cover the city and the township, for me, that growth is there.
Well, and we do know we're going to have some growth right here in our downtown area that will be bringing
absolutely.
Some additional people right here. So, okay.
I think, Chief, this is a question I need to ask.
Okay.
If this levy does not pass, your current funding for current operations is consumed by the end of next year. You'll continue on with the same amount.
Yes, sir.
But it won't be the way you want to fund the fire department.
Absolutely.
What will be hurt? The fire department can't close a school like the schools have done.
No, but when you look at a full-time fire department, manpower, that's our biggest fund is paying the guys to be there. So I would really, I don't like the scare tactic to say if you don't pass it, we're going to shut everything down and lay everybody off. But it could come to fruition that we may have to lay some guys off and not have a second ambulance. And, you know, some of the things that I believe we need to progress to protect our area even better than we do now, which I, you know, I'd go fight a fire with any of the men and women we have. So, but I think if we can get a little bit more and progress, I think it would just be, it's what Savannah needs.
All right. Thank you for that honest answer. And I made you do it. You're not fear-mongering. I asked for that.
I'm here to answer as best I can. So. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you
all that came with Chief Ram. Chief Ram has been attending the mayor's staff meetings once a month. He is excellent to work with and has been very assistive, particularly through the current COVID pandemic. We appreciate all your efforts.
Thank you, sir.
All right, I would now like to continue with the agenda. We're up to agenda item 7, which is a report of the public hearing held this evening at 7 o'clock concerning the South Friar shopping area, ZA 1-2020. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, we did hold a public hearing this evening, and there was nobody here to speak in favor or against the issue, and the issue was the South Friar LLC and making a zoning change recommendation from R1 single-family residential lot district to B2 general business district and R3 multiple dwelling medium density district at 5111 and 5123 Main Street. We did have some very good discussion, though, among council members. There were a few things of interest that we felt like we really needed to have some additional feedback from the person who was involved with the developing of this particular plan. So the meeting was recessed until October 5th at 7 p.m. The hearing was recessed.
All right, we'll have it on the agenda again that evening at 7 o'clock.
Thank you.
Moving on to agenda item 8. You have in your council packets resolution number 18-2020, a resolution accepting the amounts and rates as determined by the Budget Commission and authorizing the necessary tax levies and certifying them to the county auditor. Mr. Schroyer, any changes this year?
There are no changes. This is something that the county asks us to pass each year.
This is fairly automatic. We need to pass it before the end of the year to make sure that it can be on the 2020 tax bills that go out in January of 2021. The administration has reviewed them. Mr. Schroyer has reviewed them, and the administration recommends certifying. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce resolution number 18-2020. All members of council having received copies in advance, I'll read by title only. Resolution accepting the amounts and rates as determined by the Budget Commission and authorizing the necessary tax levies, waiving the second and third readings, and certifying them to the county auditor.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded that resolution number 18-2020 be read by title only in the second and third readings. Be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move final passage of resolution number 18-2020.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded for final passage of resolution 18-2020 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and resolution 18-2020 is approved.
Mr. Mayor, I noticed in this resolution that they asked for a roll call vote. Is that necessary in this case? Great. Just double check. Thank you.
Good question. All right. We did go through our old method of passing a resolution, which reminds me that we do have ballot issue numbers now for the proposed changes to our charter, and we have been designated issues number one and number two on the county ballot. We all know that the County Board of Elections really wanted us to do this. Maybe that's why we're at the top. I'm not sure. It is two issues. One issue will be to eliminate the primary. The second issue is the change to the procedures in council meetings and a few other cleanups in the charter. I asked why did they have to be separate issues, and they felt that the eliminating the primary was a large enough issue to stand on its own. The fire alarm issue, or the fire department issue, which he has as issue zero on what he sent you, is actually issue 13. I don't know if I ever remember Sylvania having issue number one in any election. That's obviate. Agenda item 9. We have, as promised, this council meeting's assorted temporary easements for the Cushman Road Improvement Project. Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I didn't think until after the last meeting I should have just tape recorded what I said at that meeting. This is the third round of easements for the Cushman Road water line. I'll be back to see you two more times with these. I believe the end of last week we actually had the last of the easement signed. So I think we're all done with it. It's just a matter of going through the approval process here. As before, it's just additional room was needed to be able to construct the project, and these are all agreements that the property owners have accepted.
All right. There are a number of them this evening, and I have distributed them around the table, starting with proposed ordinance 68-2020 with the chairman of the Streets Committee, Mr. Fry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 68-2020. All members of council having previously received copies, I will read by title only. Accepting a temporary construction easement for Joseph Phillips for the improvement of Cushman Road, dedicating the temporary easement for public purposes, appropriating funds therefore, waiving the second and third readings, and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded that ordinance number 69-2020 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move final passage of ordinance number 68-2020 as an emergency measure.
It's been moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 69-2020 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 69-2020 is approved. Moving on to 9C, proposed ordinance.
Was that 68?
68, yes. Moving on to 69, excuse me. I was getting it in front of me. My apologies. We're at 9C, ordinance 69. Go to the chairman of the Utilities Committee, Mr. McCann.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 69-2020. All members of council having received copies in advance, I'll read by title only. Accepting a temporary construction easement from Nicole Purcell for the improvement of Cushman Road, dedicating the temporary easement for public purposes, appropriating funds therefore, and waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
Been moved and seconded that ordinance number 69-2020 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of ordinance number 69-2020.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 69-2020 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 69-2020 is approved. Moving on to agenda item 9D, ordinance 70, and moving on to other members of the Street and Utility Committee, Mr. Richardson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 70, 2020. All members of council having previously received copies, I'll read by title only. Except during a temporary construction easement from Darren Snap for the improvement of Cushman Road, dedicating the temporary easement for public purposes, appropriating funds, therefore waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
Been moved and seconded that ordinance number 70, 2020 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of ordinance number 70, 2020.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 70, 2020 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 70, 2020 is approved. Agenda item 9E, ordinance 71, 2020. Mr. Hanum.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, I want to move. We're on 70, right?
71.
I'm sorry. Mr. Mayor, I move adoption of ordinance number 71-2020. All members of the council having received copies, I will accepting a temporary construction easement from Grandview Home Services LLC with the improvement of Cushman Road, dedicating a temporary easement for public purposes, appropriating funds therefore, waiving the second and third readings, and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance 71, 2020 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor then indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Mr. Mayor, I move final passage of ordinance number 71-2020 as an emergency measure.
Second.
Been moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 71-2020 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 71-2020 is approved. Moving to the second page of our agenda, we're up to agenda item 9F, proposed ordinance 72-2020. This is Capellini.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 72-2020. All members of council having previously received copies, I'll read by title only. Accepting a temporary construction easement from Nicholas Sargent for the improvement of Cushman Road, dedicating the temporary easement for public purposes, appropriating funds, therefore, waiving a second and third reading and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It is moved and seconded that ordinance number 72-2020 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance, motion carries. Final passage.
I'd like to move final passage of ordinance 72-2020.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 72-2020 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 72-2020 is approved. Mr. Aller, two more sets, huh?
Two more sets.
Charter change can come none too soon. All right. Thank you all. We're now up to agenda item 10. This concerns the Brookfield Estates resurfacing project. Mr. Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The project is complete. During construction, we actually discovered the original plat drawings did not show that survey monuments had been installed as part of that development. The existing, at some point, that subdivision had been resurfaced and the monuments have been covered up, and so we do not anticipate any monuments being in there. Once construction started, we discovered survey monuments, and most of them were in pretty bad shape. So we had to replace almost all of them, and that was a cost of $19,800 that we had not anticipated as part of the project. Our quantity adjustments, we were under cost for the materials for the project, and so that deduct was approximately $9,900, just under $9,900. So ultimately, we have an increase of $9,907.64 in addition to the original contract price. So the final construction contract would be $265,015.91, and we recommend approval of this change.
I'm just out of line with your original project as budget.
Yes, it's actually still less than what we originally had budgeted.
All right, excellent.
Mr. Mayor, if I might ask Mr. Aller a question, I'm sure you obviously know, and the mayor and Ms. Stow probably know as well, but for somebody like myself, what is a monitor?
It's basically a, it's a, the piece that everybody will see is basically a metal plate that will be at pavement level, surface level. But we also put, and this is what wasn't done in years past, but it is done more so now. We'll put a concrete, it'll be actually set on top of a concrete column, so that it becomes more stable and will last much longer.
Do we have those in other streets around the city?
Yes.
And so that's pretty much standard operating procedure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Any, typically, where two streets intersect, there will be one. If there's a curve, could possibly be a monument. It's put, they're reference points for surveys so that if you ever have to, if that's where the surveyors go to first, if they're doing the property survey, they need to find property points.
All right, we do have with us an item 10B, proposed ordinance 73-2020, approving this change order number one. Mr. Fry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 73-2020. All members of council have previously received copies. I will read by title only. Authorizing the mayor and director of finance to approve change order number one, final, to this city's agreement with Birkin Paving Incorporated for the Brookfield Estates resurfacing project, which reflects the final installed quantities and actual work performed on this project, increasing the contract amount by $9,907.64, appropriating funds therefore, waiving the second and third readings, and declaring emergency.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded that ordinance number 73-2020 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move final passage of ordinance number 73-2020 as an emergency measure.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 73-2020 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 73-2020 is approved. Mr. Aller is remaining at the podium because the next item is his as well. Silica Road Drive Bridge Replacement Project, Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In February of 19, we did a study replace the vehicular and pedestrian bridges at on Silica Road there by North Creek High School. The estimated cost of that project is about $1.5 million, just a little more than that. In July of 2019, we submitted an application through ODOT's Municipal Bridge Program, and we were successful in getting that funding just in excess of $1.2 million. So we will have approximately $300,000 of cost into that project. We also would anticipate possibly applying for EWC funding as a project gets closer, which could reduce that cost further.
Evan, could you say that again? I didn't hear you.
We also anticipate applying for PWC funding as a project gets closer, and that would reduce that commitment even further.
Below the $330,000.
Yes, yes. We have to be committed to the project in the amount of about $154,000. We're required to be at least 10% of the project. But we could get that other $150,000 from OPWC. And likely would be successful because we'd be able to leverage the ODOT funds that we're getting. So.
Kevin, I can't tell you how much we all appreciate your understanding of this stuff. I don't know what we do about it. Thank you. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you. part of that process is we do have to get a consultant on board to start the design process. We're asking permission to advertise for letters of interest from consultants. We don't plan on this work actually beginning until January, but we want to. It is a pretty time-consuming process, and so we do want to get that part of it started. That way, we can be ready to go in January as soon as we're eligible to. This will be a planned expense in our capital improvement budget that we'll be bringing to you in 2021. Obviously, should you not approve that portion of the budget, then we just won't carry through the project. The contract will ultimately come back to you for approval, so we can't move forward without your approval, whatever it is. But at this point, we're requesting permission to advertise for letters of interest from consultants.
Questions for Mr. Aller?
I just have a quick question. When you're talking about design, and I'm assuming you're meaning the structure. So is there anything in the budget for the design? I mean, we did name it after a Northview art teacher last year. Is there something in the budget that will make it look a little bit special?
Yeah, we should be able to put a plaque or some sort of that. The bridge itself, one of the things that we're looking at is in the proposed, it'll be budget constrained to a degree. But putting more of because right now there's two separate bridges there. This will be combined into one.
Right.
And the walkway area, we're looking at putting an overlook or two into that design. So as part of the walkway, there'd be a little bump out where someone could, just stand there and watch the creek or something of that nature. So that's been thought about. Once we get a little more into the design and the cost kind of stuff, we'll see if it's good to get that in.
Okay, or just anything to make it a little bit special so we don't have just plain cement named after the art teacher.
Right, yeah. And we'll try to keep the flowers or something of some nature. Maybe it'll be post flowers on the post or something like that. But
okay, great. Thank you.
All right, Mr. Prime, we need a motion to authorize the request of consultant proposals.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I make the motion to authorize administration to post letters of interest from various consultants for the Silica Bridge replacement over 10 Mile Creek.
Second.
Moved and seconded to authorize service director to seek consultant letters of interest. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Mr. Aller, one more. This is something we've discussed for the last couple of months, and it is to bring a charging station, electric vehicle charging station, to our municipal parking lot. Go right ahead with your report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In July of this year, the Ohio EPA issued a request for applications to install level 2 electric vehicle charging stations throughout the state. There were 26 counties identified as priority counties, and Lucas County is one of them. the funds for this program come from Ohio's allocation of the Volkswagen Mitigation Trust Fund. So those funds, Ohio has decided to use some of those funds to install additional charging stations. Our proposal is to install a level 2 dual port charging station. There should have been the drawing. That will be installed in one of the parking spots directly outside this whole building here. We will be the owner of that. Our plan is to contract with Donovan Energy for the maintenance through a warranty program. That's all part of the grant application. And then we do plan to charge a fee just for the use of the electric. I'm still working with Toledo Edison on what that charge would be, how much the cost would be. But I'm told that it's going to be very minimal, that in the like $3 to $4 range for that to be done. The estimated cost for the material and labor is about $18,500. We're recommending that we apply for grant funding in the amount of $14,800, or basically 80% of the project. That would leave a balance of $3,700, which would be paid for as part of our capital, 2021 capital program, if approved by council in a couple of months. You know, the number of electric vehicles does continue to increase. It's becoming more and more common to see electric vehicles. And with the advancements in technology and the data, I think that's just only going to continue. These stations will be able to use even by our citizens, people that come to our downtown area, or just people that are traveling through Salina. And there's a network that tells people that have electric vehicles where a charger is available. So if they, ours will show on that network, and they're going to be able to come into town and charge their vehicle. So, I think this is a neat project. I think it would be something, a nice addition to our downtown. And we request approval to apply for grant funds in the amount of $14,800.
Questions for Mr. Aller?
Mr. Aller, I think it's very exciting as well. It seems very appropriate. I'm curious how you made the decision to put just two in, if there was any thought to that, or if the grant fund opportunity limited that, but how did you get to two?
We decided on the dual port. I initially was looking at the potential for four, but when you put these in, you do have to make them reserve spaces. So I wanted to see what the use of these is going to be. The software that comes with these chargers will tell us if it was used 2 hours a day or 12 hours a day. So I wanted to see what the use and what the demand was. And our thought actually is, and I've talked to several people around the state, people aren't ready for this, so our thought is that a lot of the grant funds are going to go be left on the table, and that there might be another round coming through. There's also a different, another program that's in the works right now for level one charging stations, or I'm sorry, level three charging stations. And those are quick charge. These will take, I believe, 3 to 4 hours for a full charge. The level three chargers will do it in less than an hour. That round's coming up, so I wanted a successful project so that if a second round does come up, or a round for the faster chargers, that we will have a good record.
Thank you.
I'd love to have the next level chargers too. Yeah. So, nothing about doing two now would limit us from doing the higher level charge later, right?
No, that's correct.
Mr. Aller, first I want to applaud the administration for pursuing this. I think you need to go, you definitely want to shoot for level three for the next round if possible. Happy to help in any way, working with Edison or whatever, to calculate numbers on what's an appropriate charge to keep us out of hot water. If you want the assistance, if not, that's fine too.
I have a quick question. Now that we're going to have a charger, are we considering having electric cars as we, I mean, as our cars wear out and we replace cars in our city fleet? Maybe our next car that we purchase will be electric?
We haven't looked at that. The one thing that for our vehicles that we use around town, that is a possibility for the opposite part of the trucks around there. We also have the natural gas companies coming on our door to go to natural gas for vehicles too. But certainly something to consider for the future.
And I know we have the world.
Yeah, we look at
that company is a coal, who may be a fraud, but maybe they're not.
Yeah, We looked at several locations, I shouldn't say several, we looked at a few locations. We looked at here in this spot, and actually, our exact location isn't nailed down. We do have, we still do have some flexibility in where we put this. But we looked down at our municipal garage, but that's really not, you know, it's not centrally located for someone, for it to be easy for them to get to some of our other amenities while it's charging. This is centrally located, you know, we still edge a little bit on using two parking spaces in this municipal lot because it is so highly in demand. But putting it on the other side of the tracks presents some additional problems. It will increase the cost because the cost to get electric to it will be increased and that kind of stuff. So right now, I'm still planning on putting it in two spots out here in this lot.
Thank you. We have one member of City Council that does drive a hybrid vehicle that knows how to plug into these and does this when they're available. Also, was not on the streets or the utility committee to read an ordinance earlier. So, Ms. Staub, what was Resolution 19-2020?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce Resolution Number 19-27. All members of council have received copies of the ordinance. A resolution authorizing the mayor and director of finance to prepare and submit an application to participate in the Ohio Environmental Protection Agency Level 2 Electric Vehicle Charging Station Grant Program to execute contracts as required.
Second. Been moved and seconded that Resolution Number 19-2020 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of Resolution Number 19-2020.
Second. Been moved and seconded for final passage of Resolution 19-2020 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries and Resolution 19-2020 is approved. Thank you for all your work this evening, Mr. Aller. Agenda item 13 is ordered legislation to issue a letter of intent to participate in potential purchase of solar generated energy. Before we proceed with this, I recommend a motion of council to allow Mr. Fry to push away from the table.
So moved.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And let the record show that Mr. Fry is not participating in this discussion or vote. Mr. McCann.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce Ordinance Number 67-2020. All members of council having received copies in advance, I'll read by title only, authorizing the mayor and the director of finance to enter into a letter of intent for the potential purchase of solar generated energy and related electric consulting agreement, waiving the second and third reading and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded that Ordinance Number 67-2020 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of Ordinance Number 67-2020 as an emergency measure.
Second.
It's
been moved and seconded for final passage of Ordinance 67-2020 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and Ordinance 67-2020 is approved. Let the record show that Mr. Fry is rejoining us at the table.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
We're on to agenda item 14. This is the notice of a new C1 beer only in original sealed container and C2 wine. Chief, any report on this?
I don't have any. Actually, our dispatch records section is running that for me today. At this point, I'm on the reason to request a hearing.
Okay, for location on this, I believe this is the northwest corner of Monroe and Whiteford. And no problems in that area. schools are a ways away up Whiteford Road or down Whiteford Road. That's why I don't think there's an issue. This is Westfall. We would need a motion not to request a local hearing.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that no local hearing be requested for this S&amp;G Stores LLC request for C1 beer only in original sealed containers for carryout only, and C2 wine and mixed beverages in sealed containers for carryout only.
It has been moved and seconded not to request a local hearing for this notice of a new liquor permit. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries, and we will respond to the state accordingly. Agenda item 15 is committee reports. We did add 15A. This is Westfall requested to set a finance committee meeting time. This is Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I know that all members of council, and in particular members of the finance committee, did receive from Mr. Schreier a schedule for the budget this year. And so the first budget meeting we're hoping to hold in the week of October 12th to the 16th. I am hoping that we can find an agreeable time among the finance committee members for some time on Tuesday, October 13th, as that's the only day that both Mr. Schreier and I do not have a conflict that week. So with that said, I'm proposing a 4 o'clock meeting on Tuesday, October 13th. I'm open to other times as suggestions as well.
That works for me.
Works for you too.
Mary,
doesn't work for you.
DD planning retreat at 5:30. So how long would you?
So again, I generally plan for 90 minutes on those. So I wonder if we could do a 3:30. Could the group do a 3:30 meeting? Mr. Hanum, could you do 3:30?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And so,
where?
We're going to do it right here in the council chambers.
And we will, I've discussed it with our IT director, we will offer a Zoom option for that finance committee meeting.
Okay. So that meeting would be Tuesday, October 13th at 3:30. And I would move that we have a finance committee meeting scheduled for Tuesday, October 13th at 3:30 here in the council chambers with Zoom as an option.
Second.
Thank
moved
you.
And seconded.
Thank you.
To set a finance committee meeting for Tuesday, October 13th at 3:30 p.m. here in the council chambers. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries, and that meeting is set. Any additional committee reports to be made at this time? Or committee referrals? Hearing none, we are at the end of our council agenda. The bid information items are just the bank reconciliation. Also the...
Mr. Mayor, just note that looks like our revenues are pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You're here. Mr. Schreier is shaking his head yes. Any comments, Mr. Schreier?
No.
We are down a little bit. All right. Board of Architecture review and municipal planning meeting minutes are attached as well.
I would just note that Toby was right and my concerns were misplaced.
I'm not sure whether that reflects on anybody's crystal balls. We're fortunate to be where we're at. And the state and the federal government are helping us out a little bit as well. So we appreciate that. We're at the end of our agenda. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and this council stands adjourned for 2 weeks until our next meeting on Monday, October the 5th at 7:30 p.m. Thank you all for attending.